If you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. As you know, we are on part two of this whole sermon series called Pathways. And I want to talk about the pathway to fruitfulness. And some of you will kind of know some of these things already because of you were here this summer and we went over this whole ALIVE acronym. And I want to make sure that as we talked about discipleship, as we want to be a church that's making disciples who will then make other disciples, and that's how the world will be transformed as we're living out our faith. And I just wanted to start off as you're turning to John chapter 15, just start off with a question, and it's simply this. Have you ever experienced trials or maybe even struggles in your life which have really caused you to maybe see a greater need for Christ? I don't know about you, but I've been guilty many times when I fail to see that God is using that particular trial or that particular struggle in my life as a way of making me not only more humble, more dependent upon Him, even just being able to trust Him for the things that I do not know or things that do not make sense at that very moment. And a lot of times what comes out is either complaints or self-sufficiency, or I trust in myself in such a way that I can take care of this and I try harder, when I fail to see that it's God who is working in my life with that particular struggle, with that particular trial, to teach me something, not only about myself, but most of all, to teach me more about Him and His plans. As a Christ follower, we have to understand that all our difficulties in life, it is there to make us more like Him and to strengthen us in our faith. Let me read to you James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. I'm going to read it from the Message translation. Listen to what it says. Consider sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come to you from all sides. I mean, when was the last time you actually thought of it as a gift? That God is giving you something as a gift, these trials, these tests, these challenges that's coming from all different sides. A lot of times we don't see it as a gift. We see it as a curse. We see it as if God is punishing us. But it says it's a sheer gift. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Like, you will really find out what you're made out of only by what you go through in terms of your struggles and your trials. So many of us have an overestimation of ourselves just because we've been going to church all our lives. We don't do certain things that other people do. And so we think to ourselves, we're not that bad. And it's only when you go through a trial or a hardship or a struggle when you realize you're not that great. You're not as strong as you thought you were. You're not as loving as you thought you were. And that's what James is trying to show you who you really are. Because some of us, we live in hypocrisy. And it's only through the trials when your true self comes out and people see you for who you are. You know, it's kind of interesting because some of you have roommates. Most of you have roommates, or you live with your family, your parents. And I wish I knew that side of you. And some of you are like, Pastor, I want to know that other side of you that's not the public side, but in private. What do? Because a lot of times who we are with our family and even our roommates, you can't fake it for so long. That's who you really are. And we come to church and we put on a smile on our face as if everything's great, or we have this personality where everyone thinks you're the nicest guy in the whole wide world. Oh my goodness, you are so kind. You are so generous. But if people saw you in your apartment with your family, you are the most self-centered, selfish person in the whole world. That no one wants to hang out with you. Not even your family. And so, if we saw our trials and difficulties and our struggles as a means into which God wants to help us to see who we are and who He is, can you imagine what will happen? He closes out by saying, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Some of you right now, you are in the midst of a trial and a difficulty and you want to get out of it. And God is telling you right now through his word, don't get out of it prematurely. Let him do the work to mature you. But let's be honest. All of us, myself included, we want to get out of it prematurely. Who wants to suffer for that long? Who wants to struggle with that thing for that many weeks or months or years? But if you believe that God is doing something with those trials and with those struggles, your life will never be the same. In fact, I want to show you this quick video. It's a music video with a collage of just the words showing up and some pictures to give us kind of a visual of this principle. It's a song called Blessings, and it's written and sung by Laura Story. And it's very interesting because what she's saying and what she's introducing in this song is simply, what if all the things that we are going through or have gone through that seem so bad from our perspective, what if they are God's blessings in disguise? What if that's God's way of doing something so incredible that you don't even see it right now? But if you would just pause and to get to know who God is and how he works, he doesn't just allow anything to happen. He's a very purposeful God. He's a very sovereign God. He's a God who's in control so that anything that happens in your life, whether good or what is perceived bad, that God can use it as a blessing in disguise. What would happen to your life? How would you look at your relationships around you? How would you see your current situation? I think it will change your life. So I want you to listen to the song. Watch the words that come out on the screen, and I pray that it will speak to you as we watch this together. So let's watch this video. What a powerful song, because many of us, we pray for so many things because there are so many needs in our lives. And what if those prayers that are not answered and those things that we wanted to be done a certain way that God's not doing, that really is his mercies in disguise? I think we need this kind of perspective if we want to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I will be bold enough this morning to say you will not grow into a mature follower of Jesus Christ unless you have this perspective. You will continue to be immature. You will continue to be like that object that's tossed back and forth in the wind, the waves that keep on going. We need this perspective. And this is why it is critical that we learn how to grow in our discipleship relationship with Jesus Christ. Last week, I talked about how we want to give a clear pathway towards discipleship. And I'm going to be very, once again, bold and as well as very confident, not in myself and what we can do as a church, but in what the Word of God says, that I believe if you listen to what we're going to be preaching for the next, from last week to the next 5 weeks, the 6 weeks, what we're going to be talking about, and you really take it into your heart and you begin to apply it, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because it has been proven, not only in my life and so many other people, not just here in Hong Kong, but many other people that I've come across over just 20-some years of, as we started HMCC and seeing so many lives coming in, lives being transformed, and who are now transforming the world. And that's why we've said we want to see disciples who are alive. And this idea of alive are those five traits of abiding in Christ, living by faith, imitating Jesus, valuing the kingdom, and being equipped for ministry. And we want to believe that those five things in a believer's life, if you could go on this path to grow in your relationship and exhibit these traits, that I want to be confident that we believe that you're going to grow and mature to be used powerfully of God for his glory. So let me go ahead and give us the one thing as we get started on the first one as we talk about abiding. And as it's going to focus in on learning how to be fruitful in our lives. The one thing is simply this, that we will be fruitful as we stay faithful in abiding in Christ. So we will be fruitful as we stay faithful in abiding in Christ. I'm going to highlight two things in this passage that many of you might be familiar with, but let me put it in the context that we're talking about in this pathway towards being a Christ follower. The first thing that we have to understand when it comes to knowing how to stay faithful in abiding in Christ so that we can be fruitful is simply this, that we have to know the aim or the goal or the objective of abiding in Christ. So we have to know the aim. Once again, it is imperative that we make this one of our key points as we try to understand what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Simply, I'm asking you, why are you doing the things that you're doing? Why do you come out to church? Why do you go to life group? Why do you even read the Bible? Why do you pray? And so when we think about our Christian journey and the things that we do, I'm asking you, what is the goal? What is the aim of that? Why are you doing what you're doing? And without knowing the why and where we're going to be going, you're going to lose motivation and you're going to lose focus. So let's go ahead and read, starting from verse 1 through 3 in this passage in John chapter 15. This is what the Word of God says. I'm going to read it from the ESV. If you don't have a Bible, you can listen or read with somebody next to you. It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Let's just pause here and look at this passage in the first three verses here. Right away we see Jesus using an illustration from gardening. And what he's doing is he's trying to help people, the disciples in particular, to understand the importance of being connected to him. We see here God is the vine dresser or the gardener. Jesus is the true vine. And you will see in verse 4 and later on that we are the branches. So you got to try to picture this idea, and he's using it from horticulture. This gardening aspect, that God the Father is the gardener, Jesus is the vine, and then we are the branches. Now, he clearly lays out the objectives or the aim of what the disciples will experience and what it is they have to do. I want you to look at the key word, fruit. You're going to see this again and again in this passage. It is repeated many times in this chapter. Jesus wanted to see his disciples bearing fruit or producing fruit in their lives. Not just a little bit, but you're going to notice here that he wanted them to produce fruit in abundance of fruit that can only come from obeying God's commands. You know, with this aim, God will even prune, it says here, the branches so that it will be more fruitful. Some of you might not know what it means to prune. That word itself, if you study that word, the word prune is translated as purged, or if you want to look at it another way, cleansed. And so here we see that God the gardener and Jesus the vine, and we are the branches, and so God is trying to prune or purge or cleanse the branches, which is simply us. So when you think about this, listen, this is important. This idea of pruning, as it comes from the gardening illustration, it is simply the practice. Let me just give you what it means in general in the horticulture language, and I'll try to connect it to what we're going through as Christians. In the horticulture language, pruning is the practice of removing parts of the plant to improve or maintain health. That is the goal. It is like, I don't know how many of you have ever seen it, but if you ever see a field and no one has walked on it or has done anything to it, it just grows wild. But if you look at any gardening or garden or any kind of field that has been kept, you will notice that it looks very nice. And that is the point, that a lot of times things can grow, but it only grows healthy when you prune it. Part of the pruning process is you take away all the dead wood, and then what you do is even you scrape some of the branches so that even though there's fruits there, you take those out so that more fruits, bigger fruits can grow. Now, when you think about that illustration, you realize that's what God does when he puts us through trials and difficult times. It literally feels like we are going through the fire. And all the things that are unnecessary, God is literally taking it out of our lives. And those things that he wants us to grow more in, it seems like we have to like literally go against the flow. But what that does is it makes us stronger. It makes us love him more and to know him more. And this process is a process that every single person has to go through if you want to be fruitful in your walk with God. I think this is the reason why God is, in a loving way, always disciplining us when we stray away from his will. If you remember, part of the training that God gives us in this world to prepare us for what he wants us to do is that he does bring us through this pruning or disciplining so that we may have the fruit of righteousness. Where do we see this? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Listen to what it says. For the moment, all discipline seems what? Everyone say it. Painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So think about it. What you are going through right now, it is literally training you so that you can produce the fruit of righteousness in your life so that you can not only be a blessing to other people, but that God can use you for something that is consistent with his glory and with his plan. I mean, those of you who work out, you know the principle. If you want to build big muscles, you got to use more weights and less reps. Because if you want to tone your body, just make it kind of smooth, all you have to do is take a 5 kg and do 100 times. You're not going to get big muscles. And so many of us are going through difficult times, and once again, we prematurely remove ourselves because it's too hard. And what God wants to do is he wants to build your spiritual muscles. Some of you might have to carry some spiritual things. Some of you might have to be spiritual warriors to go into certain places that are very difficult to even say that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Some of you are going to face a lot of persecution, even at work or maybe at school. Some of you, God is preparing because there's going to be something that's going to happen to your family or in your life that might devastate you. But he's trying to strengthen you so that you will no longer put your hope only in the things of this world, but put your hope in Christ and Christ alone. That's why you're going through what you're going through. Some of you who are in the midst of a decision, right now that decision seems like the most important decision and the hardest decision you have to make in your whole life. But I'm going to tell you right now, some of you are going to make a harder decision in the future. Who are you going to marry? As I said before, next to receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, deciding who you're going to marry is the second most important decision. It will totally change your course of direction in life. So you're trying to decide, oh, should I go to this gathering or this gathering? Like, oh, this is so hard. And I'm thinking, get ready, dude. Get ready. Because there's going to be some decision that's going to rock your world. Oh, this job or this job. Oh, so hard. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. I know it's hard. But there's going to be some other decisions. To give your kid this medicine or treatment or this treatment because they might have cancer. God is preparing you. He is training you. He is pruning you so that you will be more fruitful, that you will bear fruit.
And I remember just thinking about our church tomorrow, or actually in about 10 some hours, they're going to celebrate, or I guess in about 11 hours, they're going to celebrate the 20th anniversary at HMCC of Ann Arbor. And my wife and I, we came, very young couple. I think I was 26 going on 27. My wife was 24 going on 25. And just big-eyed, as big as Asians' eyes can go. We were big-eyed and just so excited of what God is doing. And we just knew that our lives were transformed. And we want to see so many other people's lives being transformed. And we went to Ann Arbor and we started the church. And by God's grace, we grew. And it wasn't anything that we did in particular, but it was just God's desire, God's plan, and our obedience to what He wanted us to do. We went, and God just started blessing our church, and we were growing. Every year, it was just growth, growth, growth. And it was probably right around the eighth year of our church. And, you know, just to let you know, I rarely get sick. And if I have a little sniffle, whatever, I mean, by the next day, it's gone. I'm rarely sick where I'm literally bedridden. I can't do anything. Just God has blessed me with health, and praise the Lord. And I remember it was around the seventh, towards the end of seventh, we're heading around the eighth year. And as we were doing this church plant, or it was beyond a church, we were doing this church. And in the eighth year, I remember I experienced, for the first time, especially when my wife and I were married, I was bedridden. I could not move. It was some kind of flu. The doctors didn't really know what it was. People didn't know what it was. I took some medicine. But bottom line is, I was just bedridden. I was literally in bed for 3-4 days. I couldn't even get up. The only time I get up is for the bathroom. And there were part of me, I just wanted to find a little bucket or something and just go to the bathroom. I was that sick, and I just slept most of the time. And it was something that God did during that time. Because like I said, I rarely get sick. But it was almost as if God had to put me in bed to get my attention. And as I was laying there and just kind of, I had a lot of time to think. I had a lot of time to just to pray and just to kind of try to soak in what it is that God was trying to do. And I realized that what God was trying to show me in that time was this. There's a lot you can do. Seth, you're very gifted in certain things. There are certain things that come really easy for you. But if you build this church on your strength, your wisdom, your ability to communicate things and to maneuver certain situations and bring about this church, I felt like God was saying, it's going to collapse. Or you're not going to make it. And I'm thinking, God, couldn't you have told me when I was just like eating like something delicious, or, you know, I was like going out and conquering the world, but He literally had to put me in bed, sick, couldn't get out to speak to me. And I share this because I realize now, looking back in retrospect, it's always in retrospect, that was a time of pruning for me. Time of humbling, a time of reminding me of my own frailty and my own weakness, that I can't do all these things. And it was around that time when God started raising up some of the other guys in our church, not only came on staff as pastors, but it was around that year, the 10th year, a couple years after that moment when God gave us the vision to even do church planting, that it wasn't going to be just through me, but He's going to raise up people who will take the gospel to the world. And now when I look back, I realize it was God pruning me, humbling me, because He wanted me to produce more fruit, to bring Him glory. But if I did it by myself, I would have been like, it's all me. That's why I love what Henry Nouwen said in his publication, The Plow. Listen to what he writes. He says this: we are called to be fruitful, not successful, not productive, not accomplished. Success comes from strength, stress, and human effort. Fruitfulness comes from vulnerability and the mission of our own weakness. I'm wondering how many of us really take that to heart. Because for a lot of us, being successful and being very productive and doing a lot of things, we find value in that. And please, don't misunderstand me. I think being successful, productive, all those things are good things. But there's a difference between those things and what God is saying to us this morning, which is fruitfulness. Because you cannot be fruitful on your own. Can I get a good amen? Because you cannot produce the fruit. Only God can. Can you be successful without God? Yes. There are a lot of... Can you study and get straight A's without God? In many ways, yes. In your human wisdom, in your human strength, there's a lot of stuff that you can do, but it might not bear fruit. Spending time with people. Some of you are thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to try to convince them that they need Jesus Christ and they're going to come to know the Lord. And if you do this on your own without knowing your vulnerability and also your weakness, that you need God, then it's going to be human effort at best and it's going to collapse. I'm wondering if that's what some of you are experiencing at this moment. Everything is collapsing. All your relationships, all your hard work and certain things, it's literally collapsing before you. And what God is trying to do is He's pruning you so that you will be fruitful. That is the aim. That is the goal. That is the objective. So that He will teach you that you need to learn how to abide so that you can be more fruitful the way He wants you to be fruitful. Look at verse 4 through 6 as we continue quickly here. In verse 4 through 6, it says this: Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, you will notice that another key word that we've been talking about is this word abide. It's important to understand this. The word is translated as remain or to dwell. You have to understand that word. The word abide means to remain or to dwell. Now, the word dwell comes from the verb. It's the verb form of the noun of the dwelling place. So I want you to try to picture this, why Jesus was using this word. I mean, count the number of times he's using abide, 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 or remain, remain, or dwell, dwell in me, those who dwell in me. If you think about this idea of dwelling place, you realize it's a place where you can go and rest. It's like a home. The Message translation will help us to understand that. Listen to what it says in that verse 6. Or excuse me, verse 5, it says this: Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. Can you imagine? He says, live in me and make your home in me. So being with Jesus feels like being at home. I mean, don't raise your hand. I'm wondering how many of you guys have friends like that, where you could just go to them and you just feel like you could just do anything and be whatever. And they won't judge you. They won't like say, oh my God, what's wrong with you? Do you guys have friends like that? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand, but at least give me a nod if that's you. Amen? Right? Aren't they the best? Like, can you imagine when you come home or when you are hanging out with somebody and you have to be literally on your best behavior? That is stress because you do that at work. I mean, you want to have a place where you can just kind of be yourself, and you know they might not like your quirkiness, but they accept it, right? They don't like certain things you do, but they're like, oh my God, okay, fine, I love you, so just, yeah, go ahead. And that's literally the kind of idea that Jesus is saying, is that live in me, make your home with me. And he goes, when you do this, you're remaining. You are dwelling. You are literally abiding. If I could kind of take that into this next idea, it literally is lingering, resting, or like those of you who enjoy food, it is marinating. I'm not much of a cook. I'm a great eater. I have a great palate to taste good food. But cooking wise, I'm not that good. In fact, I don't cook much at all. I could cook rice, soy sauce, and butter. That's one of my specialties. And you know. But I remember my mom was making, those of you, how many of you guys, now you can raise your hand, but how many of you guys enjoy Korean barbecue? Woo? Go to Korea. Okay, go to Korea. That is the standard, all right? And my mom was making this thing, two things. There's two things of Korean barbecue. One is called bulgogi, which is the marinated beef. And then there's something called galbi, which is the marinated short ribs. And so I remember my mom making it one time for us, and I just happened to kind of stroll into the kitchen, and I realized that she stuck kiwi into this marinade. And I remember asking, I go, oh my goodness, why are you putting kiwi in there? And then she went on this long explanation of how kiwi or even some kind of like citrus types of fruit, what it does, have certain kind of chemicals, and it helps marinate the beef a little bit better, tenderizes it. She was just going off and saying all this stuff. And so I said, whatever, because, you know, I wasn't cooking that thing, so I said, whatever. But I remember that. And she said, after you put the kiwis in there and mix everything up, she says, you gotta let it sit for a whole day. Now, that's when I began to understand the concept of marinating. When you marinate something, you take a sauce or you take something and you just let it what? Just let it sit. I can tell right now, so on some of your faces, there's certain glands inside your mouth that is kind of like watering. You have that look on your face. You're like that. And so here we are salivating because you know this marinating thing is literally allowing it to sit. That's what abiding means. You are resting, lingering, or marinating in God's presence. That's why he uses this word abide, because he's helping the disciples see that he alone is the source of all spiritual life and all fruitfulness. If you linger, dwell, remain, abide, marinate in his presence and get connected to him, then pretty much what he says is that you will bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit. And this idea of connecting with Jesus is not just one time and you're done, but it's daily. That's why in verse 5 and 6, we are reminded that we can do nothing. Everyone say nothing. Nothing. That we can do nothing apart from him. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus says. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Because if you're not connected, marinating, lingering, abiding, you know what happens? It says here in verse 6 that we wither away. We get dried up. You know, one of the best ways to stay connected or abide in Christ is to read the Bible and pray. And so what we're going to do is we're going to give you a tool that some of you have already been practicing and using, and I want to encourage you to keep on doing it. Some of you who are recent members in our church, or you just joined us recently, we want to encourage you to learn it. And so one of the things that we're doing, those of you who might not know a little bit about our church, I will say this. On Sundays, let me put it this way. We are not a fellowship. Everyone say, we are not a fellowship.
We are not a fellowship.
I hear that word in Hong Kong a lot. Oh, you guys are a fellowship. I'm like, But I have to be gracious to go, yeah, something like that. So if I'm in a good mood, I just let it go by. When I'm not in a good mood, I'm like, something like that. And then I go on this whole tirade, you know, try just explaining like what's going on. Listen, we are a church. Everyone say, we are a church.
We are a church.
That fellowships. But we are not a fellowship. Well, I didn't tell you to repeat it, okay? Just listen. Can you imagine? I just say it, you repeat everything. That would be like a long sermon. Already sermon like, oh, he better hurry up. Go, listen. We are not a fellowship. We are a church that fellowships. And the difference between that, and I'm going to be very clear, and those of you who come on Sundays and you go to other fellowships, we're not hating on you. We love you. Keep on coming out. If you feel like this is a church that you want to grow in, that's great. But the reason why we do what we do is that everything that you're learning here on Sunday, we are equipping you. That is my role. And then in life group, whether on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, whenever you meet for life group, we're taking the sermon that you're hearing, and then we are bringing it into a Bible study style so that then you can at least share more. Sometimes you cannot learn just by sitting there and taking notes and listening to this talking head. One of the best ways to learn is to gain the information, and with the information, now that you are sharing it with others, sharing it from what you're learning, what is it this is all about, and then from there you apply it. And that one of the best ways to do that is in life group. That's why we want to encourage you, those of you who have the time and make the time to join life group. I know some of you guys are very busy and you have other things going on in those days, but do whatever you can to be a part of a life group. Even if worse comes to worse, at least do an LCG, which is a life change group, which is an accountability group, so that you can grow. You're not going to grow just coming on Sundays. I will guarantee it. I don't think my sermon's that great either. So I will say, if you really want to grow, you need Sunday, you need life group, and just accountability. That's what's going to help you to grow. And I'm sharing this because I'm just going to go over it in general, but this coming week, on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, whenever you go to life group, we are going to actually practice it so that you can develop this as a skill, that you use this tool on a daily basis. We want you to experience life transformation and understand that God wants to teach you how to abide in Him through His Word. So we're simply giving you this tool of how to read the Bible, study the Bible, and we're simply calling it SOAP. Everyone say SOAP.
SOAP.
S.
S.
O.
O.
A.
A.
P. Thank God that was a short
word
that I can. I'm the worst speller in my family, so my family is probably back there laughing. They're like, oh God, he at least spelled something correctly. I'm the worst speller. If it wasn't for a spell check, I would be in trouble. Praise God. And so every time you open up the Bible, we want you to remember soap. Soap, it cleanses us, and that's what the word prune means, to cleanse. So that will help you, to teach you to abide. The S stands for scripture. And some of you are like, well, where do I start? In our website, or talk to your leaders, we have a Bible reading plan, BRP. Some of you are like, this church has a lot of acronyms. Hello. There's an acronym for hello too. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We need to, somebody in Ann Arbor actually was a new believer, came to our church, was a new believer, and they started hearing all these acronyms and they were so confused. So they go, Pastor, is it okay if I make a booklet? Because he was part of our resource team, ministry team. He goes, can I make a booklet with all the acronyms? So I sat down with him one day over coffee, and he literally gave me all the acronyms and I explained what each one of those acronyms were. Some of them I didn't even know, so I'm just like, why don't you ask Pastor Pete over there, you know? he might know what that is. But BRP, which is the Bible reading plan, is we're trying to read the Bible in 1 year. Those of you who have been a Christian more than 5 years, I want to challenge you. You have read the Bible at least once. That's why, if not the end of this year, when we start 2017, let's make that as a resolution. I'm going to read the Bible, the whole Bible, in 1 year. So we have a plan that helps you to read the Bible in 1 year. And so what we're doing is, the S is scripture. So you follow a plan. You open up the Bible and read the scripture. The O means observation. What you're simply asking is this: who, what, where, why, and how. Those five simple questions. So you're looking at that passage and asking, like, who are the main characters? You know, what is God or Jesus trying to say? Or why did that happen? Or how is it that this kind of ties into this? And so you're asking questions. That's what observation is. It's like literally sitting in a cafeteria and making an observation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You see those guys over there? Yep. Do you know what language? They're speaking Canto. How do you know? Because I... Bruce Lee. And then over there, you hear that? Putonghua. How do you know? It flows. And then over there, they're from Korea. How do you know? Oh, ticket. Every time I said, do you know Korean? They go, yeah. And they always say the same words. And I'm like, why do they know all these words? The same words. And I realized Korean drama. Oppa. And all Korean drama. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. You sit there, you observe, and you make certain kind of observations just by watching. It might be off, it might be on, but you're just making observations. That's what you want to do. You want to write down some of those observations. And then the A is application. With the observation, as God is teaching you more, and especially if you do it with the LCG partner, doing with the accountability, they can share some of their thoughts, and then you can compare. And then, oh, some of you who are young in the faith, you'll have better idea. Oh, that's what it meant. Or this is what I shared, and you're able to teach one another. That's why LCG is powerful. It's not an older person trying to teach a younger person, but it's two people coming together to study the word, to share their insights, what God has spoken to them. The same spirit that's in you is the same spirit that's in me, and God can speak to both of us, and we're sharing that. And so with the application, what you're saying is, in light of my observation, this is how I'm going to live it out. And then the P is you write out a prayer, a short prayer, a couple sentence prayer. Lord, help me to be more loving. Simple as that. And that's going to be my application, that there's going to be one person this week I'm going to just show God's love without even them knowing. That's soap. That's how you read the Bible. And I guarantee you it's going to help you, especially as we think about the aim and the goal and the objective of learning how to abide. And you'll see this in the next point as we close with this. We have to not only know the aim, but we have to know the approach. And what I mean by approach is, you will see here, Jesus lays out for us a handful of things that not only benefits us, but also it will help us in abiding in Christ, abiding in Him. And that's why He's giving us almost like a blueprint or a guideline of what we should be doing. So let's go ahead and read verse 7 through 11 with this closing part here. Listen to what it says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. What we see as we close with this last portion is that simply there are five benefits. I'm just going to list them for you. Listen to what it says. The first thing we see of the benefits of abiding in Him so that we can be fruitful, so we can grow in our relationship with Christ, is first, we will have effective prayers. In verse 7, Jesus says that if His words that you did soap with, His words, some of you are like, I don't know what he says because you haven't read the Bible. That's why abiding is so connected to knowing the Word of God. You have to read the Bible if you're going to grow and if you're going to abide. He says that if his words abide in you or in us, then what we pray for, God will accomplish it according to his will. Does that make sense? There's a passage in Psalm that I remember when I was reading when I was a young believer. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I'm like, praise you, Jesus. I love this verse, I said. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And man, I had a lot of desires. I had a lot of things I wanted. So I'm just like, Jesus, you're delightful. I delight in you. Now, give me this. I need this. And I remember just kind of that was my mindset. But then something began to happen. I realized that that precursor of delight yourself in the Lord, you know what God was trying to say? that the more you begin to enjoy him, the more you know him, the more you love him, the more you spend time with him, your desires will become what? Not God's. You don't change God's desires. Listen. The more your desires die. Sorry, I set some of you guys up for that. Kind of tied in with last week's about denying yourself, taking up your cross. The more you delight in him, the more you die to your own desires, and the more you delight in him, his desires become what? Our desires. So then when I began to pray, I stopped praying for things that were so self-centered that it was about me. The more I began to delight in him, the more I began to pray things that he delighted in and that he wanted. So that when I began to pray, I just started seeing things in a whole different way. So instead of, Lord, give me this, I'm like, God, whatever you desire, whatever it is that you want, have your way. And I began to pray things like, Lord, bring that person into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that is his desire, that none shall perish, that they all should come to know Jesus Christ. And so I began to pray more of the things on God's heart. And then as I began to pray the things on his heart, you know what started happening? It started coming true. And so in my mind, in my young Christian mind, I'm thinking maybe, wow, this is like genie in a bottle. Not Christina Aguilera's version, but this is incredible. Or who is it? Is it Britney? Maybe Britney. I don't know. Who? Christina? Anyway, it's not like, okay, just let it happen. No. I just pray what God says is in his word. I agree with what he says, and then God, it's up to God to answer it because his fame and reputation is on the line. And then I start seeing all the things that I pray that is consistent with his word started to come to pass. And then I'm like, this is amazing. Now I understand what it says here, that when his word is in us, we're abiding in his word, the word is part of who we are, and we begin to pray his word, it says he will answer it. He will give us whatever we ask because now we're praying his heart. So not only effective prayers, quickly here, number two, exaltation of God. That's what you see. In verse 8a, Alpha, we see that God, the Father, will be glorified. But how? God is glorified because when we abide in Christ, we will produce more fruit. So think about this. The more fruitful we are, then people will see how great God is. Does that make sense? Like, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but starting a church is not easy. There are some of our HMCC churches and some other friends that I have that are, have started churches, and the growth and all the stuff that it doesn't just come automatic just because you're faithful in preaching, just because, I mean, I'm going to be just totally honest with you. It is hard. And some of us who might think, oh, I would love to be on a church plant one day, I'm going to tell you, it is hard. And, you know, we've been, praise God for the media team. You know, they've been posting up like different pictures of all our events. And, you know, we have supporters who are supporting us in prayer, supporting us financially, at least for this year. And as we were just kind of receiving different emails from them or when I was talking with them, you know, one of the things that they would say, they'll say things like, wow, like we just saw the pictures or we saw that video. And I talked to one of the church plant members, or I got to know this one person, and it seems like God's doing some amazing things. Not one of them said, Pastor Seth, you are just amazing. You are so awesome. We should have followed you to Hong Kong. Man, you are the best. I don't know why they didn't say that. I'll tell you why. Because no human being can accomplish what we have seen in this past year. It's God. People coming to know Christ, it's not because I gave this eloquent gospel presentation or because we spent a lot of time with them at a cafe. It was God working in that person's life. Even before you got here, God was working on their hearts. That's why when there's fruit, people growing, people experiencing Jesus, people coming to know Jesus Christ, who do they give praise to? God. They glorify God. They exalt God. No man should receive that credit. It is God and God alone. So that's why when we are fruitful, people will see and glorify God. The third thing is this. There's evidence of being his disciples. Verse 8b, 8 bravo. Listen to what it says. He says he's reminding the people of being fruitful because he says then it will be a proof of who God is. It will be a witness, or if you will, there will be evangelism that will happen. You know, part of being an evidence of his disciples is this. You got to look at the fruits. That's why if you walk in the Spirit, you will know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ when you produce more of these fruits, when you abide in him. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Listen to what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when these things are more evident in your life, then it will show how much more Christ is controlling your life. The Spirit is controlling your life. That's why we want to be fruitful in our lives. As we obey his commands, live it out, fruits will show. Not only these fruits, but other fruits will show. God will be exalted, and people will say, surely you must be a believer. Number 4 is the experience of God's love. In verse 9 and 10, we see that we are able to experience and know more of God's love as we abide in Christ. I'm just trying to drill home the point of what is this approach? Why should we not only abide, because we see here this idea of pruning and so that we can be fruitful, but how should we do it? Well, as you start producing fruit, one fruit that you will definitely see is love. Because you're experiencing his love and now you're able to love other people. That's why it is important that experiencing God's love is connected with keeping his commandments. Do you see that in verse 9 and 10? Experiencing his love and keeping his commandments are tied in. That means if you begin to understand more of his love for you, especially when he sent his one and only son to die on the cross, the more you're going to want to love him, and the way you love him is by obedience. Don't get it backwards, which some of us do. Especially in this Asian culture. We try to obey so that he can love us more. Are you with me? But we love him because he first what? Loved us. So if you don't understand how he first loved you, you're not going to be able to love him. Does that make sense? The more you understand the cross, the more you understand your own sinfulness, the more you understand his grace over your life, the more you understand forgiveness, the more you understand grace, the more you understand mercy, the more your heart will be so filled that you're going to want to obey and love him back. You're not going to play hard to get. Oh, Jesus. No. When you experience his love, it's like a current that comes upon you and you're going to just run to him. So you're going to experience his love. No wonder, once again, this idea of more of resting, trusting in God's love, the more we're going to obey. Look at John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 6. It's up here. Listen to what it says. It says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So if you keep his commandments, it shows that you do know him. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is what? Perfected. That means that this love that you're able to experience, you're able to know it more and more. It's getting mature. That word perfected in the Greek, it means mature. It's maturing. You're able to know this, understand this. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he what? Abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. That means that the more we experience his love, the more we're going to obey, the more we're going to want to love him, and the more we do that, the more fruitful we will become, and the more fruitful you will become, the more glory that God will receive, and the more glory that God receives, and which is the last one, there will be excitement in following Jesus Christ. That's why in verse 11, Jesus promises that he will give his joy. It will be in us, and then it will be full. as we follow Jesus Christ, we will experience the joy and the excitement of loving Christ more. Therefore, our approach that Jesus is giving us for us to abide and to be fruitful is what? To begin to pray. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given. As the word is abiding in you, as you pray, it's going to glorify God, because it's going to glorify God, because that's going to be evidence, proof of your obedience that you do know him. It's going to be a witness to the world. And as the world sees this, they're going to be amazed. And that's when you're going to be able to trust in his love more and more. And as you trust in his love, we see that you're going to have greater joy and greater excitement. Do you see what Jesus is trying to do? This is the approach. And that's why the second tool, quickly, listen, the second tool we're giving you, and this is probably one of the most important tools. You got to know the Bible, but this tool is going to be so practical that if you actually practice this coming week, even today and tomorrow until you go to life group and learn how to do it more practically, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to learn how to abide in him on a regular basis. We talked about soap. Now we're going to actually use the word abide. How do you spell it? A-B-I-D-E. Each of those letters represents what you need to do. And in fact, I'm gonna tell you what we did. Yesterday, when I met with the team, our church planning team, I timed some of these guys. And you could actually do this tool in 30 seconds. Some of us who speak a little bit faster, you could do it maybe in 26.33 seconds. Some of us who talk a little bit slower and we just like to linger, it will definitely be under 1 minute. I guarantee it. If you practice this enough. So abide, what is it? So think about it this way. You get up in the morning like, oh gosh, Monday, I hate Mondays. You get into MRT and then this person just did not take a shower. You're like, oh my God, it smells so bad. And instead of putting their hands down because it's a bumpy ride, their hand is right here and their armpit's right here, like odorific. This is great. And then you go into work and then your boss says, oh, we need the numbers. And didn't you get the memo? You're like, no, what memo? Well, we need this by this afternoon. And they put this and you're like, I hate my boss. I hate work. What am I doing in Hong Kong? And by afternoon, no one wants to eat lunch with you. And you're like, I'm alone. I'm a loser. No one wants to eat with me. So I'm just going to eat down at the canteen, quickly get the food and slip away somewhere in the bathroom and eat by myself. I'm just kidding. That's disgusting. And by towards the end of the day, you get into conflict with your roommate and you're thinking to yourself, wow, what an eventful day. I just want to give up. I'm giving you various scenarios for some of us because do you know how many things happen in one day that totally derail us from abiding in Jesus Christ? So this is what you do. You get up in the morning, you go to the MTR, and here's this guy that did not take a shower, and his armpit is right underneath your face. I mean, first you might want to take a little step this way, so that you don't faint. But you step a little bit this way. And the first thing is, you admit that you are weak. Lord, I am weak. I don't know if it's because of the smell, but I am weak. I do not love people. I'm just weak and I need you. It's just an admission of, an admitting that you need Jesus Christ. You need him. Not more of yourself and your self-centeredness, but you need more of Jesus. The B then is to believe in his promises or his word to help us to overcome whatever we're facing. It could be a temptation. It could be a struggle. But we are saying, I believe. This is why, once again, you need to know the word. If you don't know the word, you're not going to be able to believe in the word. So you got to know the word. So there should be where it says, love one another. Or you think about some of these passages in the Bible where it talks about how there was a display of love. Jesus loved that leprosy. Maybe in the morning before you left for the MTR, you had your BRP, you did your soap, and it was on loving people who are the untouchables. And you're like, oh, Jesus, he's just too cool. I cannot do that. But then you're like, but Lord, help me to love people who are different from me. And you got the word in your heart. You were meditating on it. Then all of a sudden, you now have to believe. Say, God, only you could put this love in my heart. I cannot love this person. And then you intercede. You pray. You pray for strength. You pray for God's power. You pray for God's love. You pray for the power to resist if it's a temptation. So it takes almost 30 seconds. If you do all of this really quickly, you just say, Lord, I just cannot love people. But your word says that you first love me, and I want to love other people. And so therefore, God, I'm praying right now that you will put love in my heart. Help me to love my boss. Help me to overcome that temptation that I'm facing. And then the D is decide to obey. So maybe as you are listening to the Holy Spirit, that you will turn to that person, and if it warrants, to be able to just talk to them. Or maybe to talk to that coworker or that roommate. When you obey, you start seeing God do some things in your life. And then the E is express thanks. Why is this important? One of the things that I tell people is this. The reason why you give thanks to God before it happens is that it is a demonstration of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about what faith is. Faith is when you are hoping for something that has not yet come. And so when you thank God for something that has not even happened, you are now operating in faith to say, God, I thank you that you are going to give me love in my heart. I thank you, God, that you're going to be able to reconcile that relationship with that roommate or with my boss or whoever it may be. So if you do this, literally think about it, 30 seconds. Every moment you face a temptation, every moment you face a situation, every moment you face a struggle, it will literally change your life. Admit, believe, intercede, decide, and then to express thanks. So once again, the one thing is we will be fruitful as we stay faithful in abiding in Christ. Don't miss Life Group this week, because we're going to be going over these tools. We're going to actually practice it so you can fine tune it, and it's going to help us. I want to encourage you to, the next steps is use the tools. And so you're going to learn it in Life Group. Use it and then utilize your LCG. Hopefully some of you are in LCGs, the accountability partners, and do it together. Keep each other accountable. Can I just share this another music video? I try to keep that theme from the beginning, and this is another one. I don't know how many of you guys know Casting Crowns. It's a Christian contemporary group. Mark Hall is the founder and the guy who leads the group. He's the main singer. He found out that he had cancer. And that same night when he was literally devastated and scared, he went to his piano and he wrote this song. And the song is simply, Oh My Soul. And listen to what he said in an interview about this song and about what he experienced. He said this, you really don't hear the words, you have cancer. You hear these words, simply, you are going to die. It's like the whole world shrunk. All I can think was, okay, how am I going to get my family through this? How am I going to make sure that they know that it's going to be okay? Everything got simple and prioritized very quickly. My feeling kept slamming up against something solid in me, and that was the roots of my faith. The fact that I've been in the Word for years, the fact that I've been following Jesus for years, and the roots of my faith were reminding me God is who he says he is. All these things you've ever read and believed and trusted are true. It doesn't stop being true just because this took you by surprise. I think sometimes when you're caught by surprise, you feel like maybe God is also caught by surprise. But he, at the end of my life, already looking back on it, so I've got to remind myself of that. What he's simply saying is this, nothing's a surprise to God because he already knows all things. And with him growing up with the word and being so rooted for all these years, it helped him to overcome. And that is my prayer, that you will be able to be rooted so deeply in Christ, to abide in him, so that when you face trials and hardships, you will see it as a pruning process to make you more fruitful, to bring glory to God. That is how you're going to grow. That's what it means to abide in Christ. Can we just watch? It's just simply the lyrics in there. Just watch it, listen to the song, and then we'll close out here. I'm just going to pray and then we'll dismiss. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to respond this coming week. There will be so many struggles and temptations. Some of you don't even know what's going to be coming in this next week, next month, this year. Some of you are going to face and hear some bad news. Some of you are going to go through some difficult things, conflicts with people you love. Man, sometimes when I think about my heart aches to think that there's going to be so much pain. And it's easy to blame God. Say, God, it's your fault if you really love me. But remember, it's because God loves you, He has to give us the free will. And there will be people who will sin against you, people who will do things that will hurt you. It doesn't mean that He doesn't love you. He has to allow free will to happen in this world in order for us to show us love. Or we will be robots, and that is not love. That's why the beauty of the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all the sins that you've ever committed, the sins that you are in right now, and the future sins that you will commit. That's why He says it is finished when He died on the cross. No longer will the guilty charge or us paying the price for our sins will be upon us. Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He bore all the sins of the whole world. That's why He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, He felt the separation from God the Father that He loved so very much, because a sin was upon Him. And God punished Jesus for our sins. And that's why now we just have to believe by faith that Jesus Christ not only loved us by dying on the cross, but He paid the penalty of our sins. And we now live by faith. I don't know about you, but man, I want to get to know Him more. And the best way to get to know Him is to get into His Word, know His promises, know more of who He is. The Bible is His love letter to you. If someone that you cared about, someone you were interested in, wrote a love letter, you would read it, the whole thing, instantly. The Bible is God's love letter to you. Let's commit to reading it. The scripture, observation, application, prayer. And then when we go throughout the day, let's continue to abide in Him. Linger. Think about Him. Let's marinate in His presence, in the dwelling place, so that even though those temptations and things outside of our control comes our way and it frustrates us, gets us angry, we can in 30 seconds lift up that short prayer. Lord, I'm weak. I can't do this by myself. But Your Word says that I'm more than a conqueror, and I want to believe that. So Lord, I pray right now that You'll help me to understand that I'm a conqueror, and whatever's facing me right now, I can overcome it because You are strong and You are good. And I'm going to decide right now to give You praise. And I thank You that You've already allowed it to happen for Your glory, for Your honor. 30 seconds right there. You just do that quickly. And can you imagine how then your attitude would change? Your perspective on that situation will change instantly. You're going to start bearing a lot of fruit. It's going to be awesome. So Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I just pray for every single person at the sound of my voice that they can hear. Lord, that You will remind them that You are so much bigger and greater than everything else in this world. And that God, that You have a purpose for everything that has happened. And Lord, it's because You love us. You discipline those that You love. And Lord, You are pruning us so that we will be more fruitful. And the reason why you want us to be fruitful is so that people can see that we are your disciples. That we can exalt you, Lord. That we can experience your love. And that we can really genuinely get excited about following you. The joy of the Lord will be our strength. So I just pray, Lord, this coming week, that we will not only get it rooted in the word, but we will learn to fight some of the struggles by abiding in you, Lord. And I'm asking, Lord, that, Lord, we will put you to that truth, that if we abide in you, if we remain in you, if we dwell in you, and your words remain in us, that we will bear much fruit. Because we know that there's nothing we can do apart from you. Teach us how to be fruitful this week. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.